Welcome to the Donor Project podcast, where infertility doesn't mean childless. I'm Dr. Miranda Miles, the contemporary conceptionist, and I help women and men using donor eggs bring their baby home sooner. This is what happens when a women's health expert chooses to use donor eggs to create her unique family. Think about the Donor Project podcast as your go-to place for everything you need to know about using donor eggs to bridge the gap between you and your baby. Because every woman deserves the opportunity to be a mum and every man a dad. Hello everyone and welcome to Season 1, Episode 2 of the Donor Project podcast. You got me today. I'm flying solo and I want to share with you all the things you need to know about using donor eggs to create your beautiful, unique family. We will talk about who egg donation is for, how to find an egg donor, and why it is so difficult in Australia and why so many people are going overseas. So we will talk about the differences between local versus overseas donor egg processes, the differences between non or anonymous processes, and the differences between paid or purely altruistic donor processes as well. So loads of information, loads of things to get through. Couple of stats for you. So we know that 1 in 6 Australian couples struggles with their fertility, and many of them are turning towards alternative contemporary methods, including egg donation, to create their families. And I think we are so blessed to be able to have this option. As most of you know, my two children are both donor egg conceived. And if you have ever thought about using a donor egg, or this is your last resort, your last option, then I'm going to say to you, do it. Do it. Don't overthink it. Okay. My children are my children, and I don't doubt that for a moment. They are my blood. They are my essence. They are my spirit. They're my soul. They are me. And it's amazing how many people say they actually look like me, but they don't share my DNA. So DNA is such a pumpteenth part of the story. It's you don't need DNA to create a family. You need love, and you don't need DNA to be a mother. You just need love. Actually, I'm going to share with you a little bit of a definition here. This is a definition about what a mother is that I found that I really, really, really like. So to mother is a verb. It's a doing word. And the kind of the outdated definition of a mother is to give birth to, right? That's just dumb. A mother can be a foster mum, an adoptive mum, a fur baby mum. A mum can be a woman who has unfortunately suffered several miscarriages and they are a mum to their angels, or recurrent early pregnancy losses. They are all mums. So a mum comes in all sorts of shapes and sizes. So a more contemporary definition of a mum is to bring up a child with care and affection and to look after someone kindly and protectively. This simply requires love, not DNA. So to mother is about intention. It's about who is intended to be the mum, and that is the intending parent or parents. Okay. And that is such a beautiful thing. So who is egg donation for? Okay. So embarking on an egg donation program is a very special journey, and it definitely may not be for everyone. It's an important decision to make, but I think the focus should always be on the end result, which is a healthy, happy baby that you may not otherwise have been able to have. Egg donation then really is for any intending parent or parents that need donor eggs to create their family, including older women, same-sex couples, or individuals. I do think there's a little bit of a misconception out there that donor eggs are for women who have left their run too late, or focused on their career rather than family, or only met the one later in life. And yes, of course, that is all part of that process. That was basically me. But there are a myriad of reasons that people require donor eggs. It can be younger or older women with poor quality eggs and or a low AMH. It can be women who have gone through round after round of unsuccessful attempts at IVF using their own eggs. That was me. I went through three rounds of IVF using my own eggs, and each time I was only getting three eggs. Two would fertilize, both would go in on separate occasions, and nothing would happen. It can also be for women who have suffered recurrent unexplained miscarriages or early pregnancy losses and just feel that they can't keep going through that, but they still would love to be a mum. Women going through premature menopause, women with genetic diseases that want to be a mum but don't want to pass on the said genetic disease to their children. Women who have gone through ovarian dysfunction due to cancer, chemotherapy, or any other serious illness, or women that have an absence of ovaries. And all of these people deserve the opportunity to be a mum. There's also same-sex male parents who require egg donors as well. So many, many different reasons. It's not just because we've left our run too late. So the next thing I kind of want to cover off on, which I think is really, really important, is how to find an egg donor, and particularly why is it so hard in Australia? So it can be very, very difficult in Australia to find a donor. So most of the major IVF clinics will provide egg donation services, but they suffer long waiting lists and really have very few available donors. And there's many reasons for that, which I'll cover off in a second. So it's generally a requirement that you find your own egg donor, ideally aged somewhere between 20 to 33 years old. There are specific websites and Facebook groups that offer advertising space for a donor, but it can take months, if not years, to find a local one. And this is where it becomes really, really interesting in Victoria specifically. So in Victoria, we are regulated by the Human Tissue Act 1982. And in Victoria, it is illegal to advertise for an egg donor without written permission from the Minister for Health. Okay, so under the Human Tissue Act 1982 in Victoria, no person is permitted to publish an advertisement relating to the selling, buying, or donation of tissue unless the advertisement is approved by the Victorian Minister for Health, and the ad must contain a statement to that effect. So that in itself can take weeks to get that approval. So a lot of women are relying on a family member or an associate or a friend or a colleague, and relying on the goodness from their heart to donate, which can make it quite complicated. Even if you do advertise, and you do, and I'm talking Victoria specifically, if you do advertise and advertise in Victoria with the approval of the Victorian Minister for Health for your ad, the donor is, the choice of whether she donates is incumbent on her. She gets to choose you, whether she wants to donate to you. And that can be heartbreaking. I know that, well, for us, we started our process by initially responding to some ads. We didn't put out an ad, we just responded to some ads. And each time it was... It was heartbreaking, actually, because each time the donor would come back and say, oh, I'm sorry, I've just donated and I don't want to donate again, or I've changed my mind, or any other myriad of reasons as to why they weren't continuing with the egg donation. So for us, we went through that process, I think it was 6 to 12 months. I can't actually remember the absolute time frame anymore, but it was a minimum of 6 months that I went through that and felt like I was just wasting time. For me personally, I didn't feel particularly comfortable in asking anyone I knew. That just didn't sit well with me. Now, I do want to really point out, this is very, very individual. For some people, that is the absolute ideal, to know somebody who will kindly donate. As I said before, others will rely on a sister or a cousin or some other family member. That wasn't possible for us. All of my two sisters are both older than I am, so that wasn't going to work when I was already 40 at this point. And same with my cousins. So that just wasn't really an option for me. And I was kind of a bit stuck. I didn't really know what to do next. And I knew so little back then. So then I did find out about a way to find a donor internationally. And I will cover off on that shortly. But I want to firstly talk about the other reasons why it is so hard in Australia to find a donor. And two of the biggest hindrances to finding a donor are, firstly, it must be an altruistic donation. And secondly, it cannot be anonymous in this country. Okay. So, and we're the only country where this is how it is. Every other country, you can, it can be an anonymous process and the donors are paid. So the regulations in Australia and in Victoria specifically, so the regulations are set by VARTA in Victoria, which is the Victorian Assisted Reproductive Treatment Authority, which, and I quote, provides independent information and support for individuals, couples, and health professionals on fertility, infertility, assisted reproductive treatment, and the best interests of the children born. Now, every state in Australia has its equivalent to VARTA. Okay. So that's one of the regulatory bodies and that details and defines what we are and aren't allowed to do. But there's another layer to this as well. Also under the Human Tissue Act in 1982 in Victoria, it is illegal to purchase any human tissue. This means that human eggs and sperm cannot be owned, bought, or sold. Okay. So we can't purchase an egg, right? The law allows an intending parent or the recipient of the donor egg or sperm to compensate their donor for any reasonable out-of-pocket expenses. So remember that a woman that is going through, that's donating her eggs, she has to go through weeks of appointments and scans and drugs and surgeries to be able to donate. It's IVF. She's going through IVF and then she's donating those eggs to somebody else. It is an incredibly complex, time-consuming, stressful process, and it can take weeks on end. So the intending parents are expected to pay all of their reasonable out-of-pocket expenses. So they pay for the surgeries, they pay for parking or babysitting or time off work, the appointments, the drug, they pay for everything. But what they're not allowed to do is they're not allowed to give anything extra to that donor. They're not allowed to say, hey, here's $1,000 to say thanks for going through this for me. Okay, we're not allowed to do that. And I think that makes it really hard to find donors who are prepared to go through all of that and really get nothing for their donation. Okay, so they get all their expenses paid, but there's nothing extra to say thank you. There's nothing extra for what they've just been through. So anyone who donates in Australia is absolutely altruistic, but I'm just not sure that it should be that way. I think it cuts out so much choice for intending parents because it's hard to find somebody who's going to go, sure, I'll go through all of that for you. I'll give you my eggs and kind of get nothing in return. So that's one thing I find really hard with it. The other thing that I find really hard with that is, let me read the information to you again. It is illegal to purchase any human tissue. This means that human eggs and sperm cannot be owned, bought, or sold. But I know that there are clinics in Melbourne that are paying sperm donors around $250 Australian dollars per donation. Surely that's buying sperm. And yet, you know, to spoof into a cup is so much easier and takes such less time and effort, and they get paid $250 for it. Whereas a woman that's going through weeks of drugs and appointments and scans and going under an anesthetic to have the eggs collected and going through surgery is not allowed to be paid. But men are. I don't get it. And I really think that this needs to change. Why is it always so complicated and one-sided against women? It's usually women that are searching for these egg donors because their eggs aren't working, and yet the donors can't get paid, and yet a sperm donor can be expected to accept $250 even though it is illegal to pay for sperm or eggs. How is that fair? I feel like we trade all the time. We trade in commodities all the time. I think if we make it a clear business transaction, then we'd have, as women, we'd have so much more choice. And, you know, at the end of the day, women ovulate eggs every month and they're not being utilized. Why shouldn't this be made more freely available for women that need help? Pay these women for their donation. Who cares if they gain financially from it? It's just one tiny little cell, one cell that could change another woman's life. One cell that could allow her to be a mum. One cell that will give her the gift of motherhood, or will give a same-sex couple the gift of parenthood. Why can't that happen? The other thing in Australia with finding an egg donor is that it cannot be anonymous. If anyone is going to go through an egg donation process in Australia, it cannot be anonymous. And it's really important to consider all the implications of knowing the donor for you and your child. Okay, so in Victoria and New South Wales, details of all egg donors are registered and all conceived births must be declared on the birth register. And this is held by VATA. So the donors must consent. To their identifying information being held by Victoria and New South Wales Central Register. And in Victoria, that is VATA. Okay, so you cannot go through an anonymous process in Australia. That then means once the donor conceived children have turned 18 years old, they have the right to learn about their egg donor via the registry. Now, I think that's really great, that side of it. I think it's wonderful that that is protecting the rights of the children. I do believe that the children have the right to know about their egg donor, their culture, their heritage, their history, their you know, their medical history, their genetic medical history. I think that's really great. However, the flip side of this is that the donors are also entitled to information about any offspring born from their donation. So the number, the age, and or the gender. And I don't know why that is necessary. That basically means the donors can then come and find your child. And I don't know why they would want to be able to do that. Why would they need to be able to do that? And that's the side of it that I find a little bit more tricky in terms of it being a non-process, that it cannot be anonymous. As I said, I do understand the need to regulate and the need to control all of that, but I don't know how necessary it is for the donor to receive that information. The other thing, a statistic for you. Currently in Victoria, there are 11,500 donor-conceived people on the Central Register as of 2020, right? So that's held by VATA. And this includes children born via both sperm and egg donation. However, donor egg children conceived overseas do not need to be declared on the donor central register. So my children that were conceived overseas do not need to be declared on that donor register. Okay. So the number, that 11,500 donor conceived people, that number of donor-conceived people in Victoria is probably four or five times this number, because so many people have been going overseas to do their donor egg conception. And that's simply because it is so hard in Australia, A, to find a donor, and B, well, no, A, it's really A, it's hard to find a donor. It's time consuming. Now, there is another process. So we can do egg donor in Australia, where you find your own donor, or you go, you advertise, or you rely on one of the clinics. Then we have the option of going overseas. Okay. And lots and lots and lots of people are going to Spain or Greece or Croatia or Ukraine or America. America is very, very expensive. Greece tends to be a very, very big one. I work with a company in Malaysia. That's where I did my egg donors. And they are a wonderful company to be involved with. And they have egg donors from Ukraine. There is a third way of going about this, and that is the ability. So there's some companies in Australia that have managed to get through some of the regulations in New South Wales and Victoria particularly, and have been able to bring eggs into Australia specifically from Ukraine. Okay, so it stops you having to travel overseas, which is great, because obviously traveling overseas is it can be quite expensive and time consuming. So there is this ability where Ukraine eggs have been able to be brought into Australia, and then the actual donor egg IVF process occurs in Australia. So that's a great intermediate place to be. Okay, so it's in between local finding your own donor or going overseas. This is bringing in eggs from overseas, but you can do the transfer in Australia. Again, that does mean though that the children and the donor need to agree to be on the donor register. Sorry, the egg donor needs to agree to be on the donor register in Australia. And that is known as an identity reveal process. So again, when the child turns 18, they are entitled to get their information about their donor. So it's known as identity reveal. So different processes, different ways of doing it. I think what has really been highlighted for me now with COVID is obviously it is even more difficult at the moment for women to go overseas to find or to have their egg donor process occur. And I myself, I have seven embryos in Malaysia that I would have loved to have used last year in March 2020, but of course COVID happened and there is now that extra difficulty of not being able to travel and not being able to reach my potential babies. And that's really hard. And now that things have eased a little bit, there are medical exemptions. There are ways to get over there. But that's all dependent on flights and whether you can get in and out of the country. And of course, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks when you get there and obviously quarantine when you get back to Australia. So it's just more and more layers of complication that has now become really, really obvious in the face of a pandemic, in the face of COVID, and how we get around this and how these women who are desperately wanting to become mums, how they can do this. It is possible. It is possible to do. It's just another layer of difficulty, which is why I just don't understand why we can't make it a little bit more simple for it to be a local process. Like, why can't we do it in Victoria? Why can't we have egg donor clinics in Victoria that are paying the donors? It doesn't have to be a non-process. Why can't we have the choice of it being anonymous or known? Like, who's to say? What regulatory body has the right to say this is what's right for your child? Nobody knows that. And it might not be the right thing for your child. So I would really love to be advocating for change and trying to get a little bit more choice in Australia, but I'm just not sure that I don't know if it's going to happen. I think it's just become so much more difficult now, particularly in the face of COVID. And I do have a couple of other patients that have gone to Malaysia and their embryos are there. So just to explain, if we wanted to bring those embryos, so mine are already embryos and a couple of my patients are already embryos. If we wanted to bring those embryos back into Australia and do the donor egg process here in Australia, the donors, the original donors, would have to agree to go on the donor register. I've already asked the question whether my donor would allow that to happen and whether she would be willing to go on the donor register here, and she has said no. So I can't get my embryos. I'll tell you a little secret. It has cost me a lot of money to be able to get my embryos, and a lot of heartache and a lot of time and a lot of trauma. It's been 8 years. 8 years, 3 trips to Thailand, 4 trips to Malaysia, 3 donors, 16 eggs. Like, it's been a lot for me to actually get those embryos and have them there. And now I have a barrier of being able to get them. So the donor has said no, she won't be part of that. She doesn't want to be a non-donor. And that's fair enough, because when she donated, I paid for her to donate, and it was always an anonymous process. So my embryos are stuck. As I said, it is possible to get over there, but it's difficult because of flight restrictions. You can get medical exemptions. I have had another patient just return from Greece. She went in November 2020, went over to Greece in November and ended up. So the first donor that she used didn't work. They didn't have a good response. They chose a second donor. And of course, the decision was always, well, do we just stay here? Because for us to go back to Australia and then come back to Greece again is very, very difficult in the current climate. So they ended up staying there for about 3.5 months, just kept putting off coming home. And of course, that was all determined by the flights that they could get anyway. And They ended up staying there for 3.5 months. I think they used two different donors. They have come back and they are now pregnant with twins, which is amazing. But it was a 3.5 month time away from Australia, away from work. It's cost a lot of money. It's been successful, but that's not doable for everybody. Not everybody can go just take 3.5, 4 months off and go through that process for such an extended period of time. So I want to advocate for change here and to make it easier in Australia and easier in Victoria. And I don't understand why it can't be easier and why we can't have an easier process here. Okay, I'll jump off my soapbox for a minute. A couple of other things to consider is that obviously doing it in Australia, it's much more cost effective. Okay. Yes, you have to pay for all the medical costs and reasonable out-of-pocket costs, the expenses of the donor, the intended parent's own medical costs, and the actual IVF process. There are some Medicare rebates are applicable. So it is cheaper in Australia. It does cost more to go overseas because you pay for absolutely everything and the Medicare rebate is not applicable. A couple of other things. In terms of screening, all donors in Australia or overseas are medically screened, and the degree of screening does depend on the clinic that you use. Once the egg retrieval is complete, both in Australia and overseas, so once the egg retrieval is complete and fertilized using the recipient's husband, partner, or donor sperm, the embryos now legally belong to the intending parents. Okay, there are no further legal obligations or commitments for the egg donor. However, in the case where you have done an anonymous process overseas and then you want to bring those embryos back into Australia, that egg donor does need to agree to be on the donor register. Okay. In terms of counselling sessions, because it is a non-process in Australia, all parties must be known to each other and they must have counselling sessions, which are obligatory for both the egg donors and the intending parents. And I think they have to have at least one counselling session together and also together with the egg donor's partner, or any family, relevant family members, and also the intending parents, okay? Working with children check is obligatory in Australia. It's not obligatory if you go overseas. There's no police checks required when you go overseas either. Okay, so in a nutshell, that's kind of the big differences that happen, and it's also why it is so difficult in Australia to find an egg donor and do an egg donor process. I do just want to say I absolutely do think that the donor conceived children do have the right to know A, that they were donor conceived, so tell, okay? Always tell, and the sooner the better. Since both of my children were conceived, I have talked to both of them from the moment they were conceived in utero that they are donor conceived children. I consciously had a discussion with Charlie about it recently. So Charlie is now 6, and I explained the process and that we went on this glorious adventure. We so desperately wanted to find him and create him that we went overseas and found a beautiful egg donor angel who donated one little cell to me so that we could fertilize that egg and grow Charlie in my belly. And he said to me, Charlie has always called me Minda. That's always been his special name for me. And he said, oh, Minda, that is so beautiful that three of you came together to make me. That was his response. So I would always say, whether you do an anonymous process or a non-process or overseas or in Australia or wherever you do it, always, I think you always should tell them. They have a right to know. They have a right to know that they have a different cultural background or a different heritage, but that they are your child. I think secrecy implies shame, and there is no shame in doing this. It is a beautiful process. When I first thought about doing this, I was secretive about it initially, not for any other reason than that I didn't know how other people would respond to me. And now that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter at all. My children are my children, and anybody's response to that is their problem. So I don't make it a secret. I don't keep it a secret, and I certainly don't keep it a secret from them. They know, they've seen photos of their donor, both of them, because they have two different donors. And I think just remember that if you're going to go along this process, but you're doubting or you're not sure or you don't know if you should tell, just remember that the donor gives you one tiny itty bitty little cell. That's it. And whilst it is the most precious gift anyone could give you, that one cell does not make a child. Okay? We need sperm, we need blood, we need essence, we need soul, we need vitality, and that's what you give your child that you are growing. Okay? So I think they were the main things that I wanted to talk about today. Oh, no, a couple of other things, actually. One other thing that I will share with you is the success rate using donor eggs. So often when there's women, older women, and I'm going to call it geriatric pregnancies, because any pregnancy that occurs after 37 years of age is considered to be a geriatric pregnancy. So it often is older women, for whatever reason. Okay. So older women that are going through IVF using their own eggs, as soon as you hit 40, your success rate is, or chance of a live birth, is around 8%. The success rate using donor eggs, and again, defined as a live birth, so not a pregnancy, because a pregnancy, remember, it can still all go pear-shaped when you use donor eggs. I'm talking about a success rate as being defined as a live birth. That is quoted as anywhere between 50 to 75%. And that success rate is directly correlated with the age and the health of the donor, the quality of the sperm, and the subsequent quality of the embryos. Okay. So it's, yes, very much about the age and the quality and the health of the donor, but it's also 50% about the quality of the sperm. And so it's really, really important that the best quality eggs are fertilized with the best quality sperm. We do not want crappy sperm to be mixed up with this beautiful 20-something year old, gorgeous, healthy eggs. Okay. So there is lots of things that can be done to help particularly the male prepare for that process. And I'll talk about that in subsequent episodes, what they need to do to help to prepare. And there's things that the intending mother needs to do to help prepare as well. But we'll cover that off in later episodes. So I think they're kind of the main things that I really did want to cover off on today. I would love you to subscribe, to rate my podcast, and any feedback. I'd love you to follow us on Instagram and Facebook. We are at The Donor Project. Or follow me at Miranda Miles, at Dr. Miranda Miles. That would be amazing. But if you would be so kind to share my podcast with anyone that you think or feel needs it, that would be amazing. Do it. If you've ever thought about it, do it. I will, one other thing that I will say is that for me as a naturopath, using donor eggs felt like a really super unnatural process. It felt so medicated, and of course it is. It's medicated, it's drugs, it's scans, it's appointments, it's everything so far from natural and normal. And I struggled with that for a while. And then it occurred to me that this is my natural. This is my normal. It doesn't have to fit into anybody else's definition of natural or normal. I have created my normal and my natural way of creating my family. And that sits really beautifully with me now. So make it your natural, your normal. It's your conception, your way. Okay. And I truly, truly believe that every woman deserves the opportunity to be a mum and every man a dad. And we need to break down some of these barriers that get in the way of the process. I can help you get your egg donor. I can help you prepare. I can do all of that with you. So if you choose to go overseas, choose to do it locally, I can help you and guide you through the entire process. I just really want it to be easier in Australia for Australian women and Australian people. Okay, much love. I'd love you to follow, subscribe, rate. Mwah.